Hello and welcome to More Like the Let's Experiment show about finding new homes for the lost and forgotten characters in Marvel Crisis Protocol. I'm your host, Lexa Wade, and with me this week is Patrick. How are you doing?
Alexa, how about yourself?
I'm doing okay. I had, last night I got to run some Call of Cthulhu for some people, and that was a fun time.
Exciting. How'd it go?
The players dunked on the scenario, but it was still a lot of fun. There's only so much damage a Call of Cthulhu scenario can do when your players are consistently rolling under 10.
Yeah, there's, you know, Cthulhu's tough, but you shoot him in the face with a shotgun enough times, and he probably goes down.
Well, we weren't even doing Elder Gods. We were doing kind of like low-level introduction to the mythos scenario.
Okay, so that's fewer shotgun blasts to the dome that they can take.
Yeah, just the scary thing was a couple of night gaunts.
Okay, all right, yeah. All right, still pretty scary unless you're, you know, always rolling under 10.
Yeah. But everyone seemed to have a great time. I had a lot of fun.
I mean, that's all you really want, right? From a tabletop game session, as long as the players are having fun.
Yep. So... for those who may not know you, would you mind introducing yourself?
So my name's Patrick. I'm one of Lex's locals. So we're playing most weeks down at the FLGS. Mm-hmm. Mostly I play Spider Foes, but I've been on a bit of a Midnight Suns tear recently, and in our local X-Men Mutant League. I've been playing Brotherhood.
And you got playing... to dunk on me last week.
That was an unfortunate game for you, I think. Just yes. Everything that could go wrong did go wrong.
Oh, yes.
Bad mission, bad squad pair up, and then sometimes... And then you got diced pretty hard as well.
Yeah. Sometimes it just... Everything goes wrong.
Yeah, you get a bad break. You fought well. You definitely you kept the game going as long as you could, I think.
And like the fact that with all the bad breaks, I still ended up like what 12-14 going into the final round. That's not a bad scoreline.
Not at all. Like you played you played to your outs. Wolverine popped off, downed Mystique, downed Toad. Like had a really good turn. But yeah, you know. Sometimes when you bring Shadow King and the other guy, and I have Juggernaut and Ultron too, it's rough. It's hard.
Yeah. I find it fascinating. Shadow King countered by the one affiliation he's in.
Yeah. It's hard countered by, Yeah. Not the ideal scenario for him.
Yes. But he put up work in my other two games and basically won one of them. So I still think he is a very solid model. And I think on Senators into any game plan, except for the Brotherhood game plan, he does really well just because the denial of actions he can do.
100%. Like, I could see what the game plan was with, you know, walk into Shadow King, he walks you away, and... basically that's your turn. Mm-hmm. That seems really strong, and we've talked about this before, but his basic builder is one of the scariest, like if you just look at the text on the card, it's one of the scariest attacks in the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But you just had the matchup.
Like I say, when your tricks and traps does damage and nothing else, like it's not as good of a power.
No. But now I must ask you, what character do you want to see in Marvel Crisis Protocol that isn't in Marvel Crisis Protocol?
So my preference in the Marvel universe has always been towards the weirdos and freaks.
Mm-hmm.
I like a Marrow. I like a Griffith. Mm-hmm. One of the ones I was just rereading the Dark Reign storyline, and during the Hood's Gang arc, One of the people I was most excited by was Living Laser.
Yep, Living Laser is awesome and weird.
That is who I want to see. I want to see somebody who is, you know, we definitely need more energy attackers. We definitely need somebody who's super fast and can teleport around the board. I imagine him being a little bit like the recently previewed Electro. But,
yeah,
that kind of, you know, refracting himself around the board, doing sweet beams. Yeah, what's not to love?
So as a Spider-Verse player, and as someone I think is well enough aware of Spider-Man lore.
Sure.
We have yet to get a female Spider-Foe. Who would be a female Spider-Foe?
Well, I would hope that Silver Sable.
I am hopeful for that too.
Out, is in the Spider-Foes, but if I have to pick a new one, either Scream or Malice. One of my, like, secret hopes is for there to be a symbiote affiliation at some point.
Yeah.
This probably is a sub-affiliation. You know how they've done, like, the AIM affiliation as part of Crimson?
Yeah.
I would love to see a symbiote affiliation, and I feel like the Lady Venoms could fit in really well there.
Yeah. I'm also thinking, which one is the streamer?
Oh, I'm not sure off the top of my head. I'm sorry.
But you know who I'm talking about, right?
Spider-Man has a streamer foe? Like a Twitch streamer? I'm not sure I know who this is.
Screwball.
Screwball? No, I'm not aware of Screwball. Is she in the big wheel tier?
Well, she made it into Marvel's the first Spider-Man game.
Okay, so one above the big wheel tier, at least.
Yeah.
Cool. So she's just. So what's the deal? She's just a. She's a streamer. She does. What's her criminal. Her criminal modus operandi.
Let me pull. They are a they are the world's first live blogging supervillain.
Hell yeah, we love to see it.
And I'm just like, that is a vibe.
Yeah, no, I mean, I thought was a really cool thing about. Did you play Borderlands 3?
I've played 1 and 2 and not super much of 3.
Okay. The villains in Borderlands 3 were Twitch streamers, and I thought it was a very fun framing device. And so I like the idea of a streaming villain.
And then also, I will also say at this point, we might be able to consider Madeline Pryor a Spider-Foe.
Who doesn't Madeline Pryor get into fights with is the real question.
Well, she is also the one that gave Ben Reilly... Spoilers for a recent comic run. She is the one that gave Ben Reilly the like, demonic superpowers that he used to become Chasm to fight Spider-Man because of all sorts of bullshit.
I mean, if we're getting more, like, cosmic cosmic-level villains, let's do it. More 6, 7, 8 threats. Let's go.
I would be fine with just more 5 threats. 6 threats and above are so hard to balance.
That's true. And honestly, as the Spider-Foes, as a Spider-Foes player,
you just want a 5 threat.
I want it more than I want a 5 threat. I want a 2 threat, but I do desperately want a 5 threat.
You want one or the other at the very least, and somehow you did not get one in the box.
I was really, really hoping Electro would be like a high-powered 5 threat. I was imagining in my heart of hearts something like an electric-fueled Captain Marvel. Mm-hmm. You know, I still think he's cool.
He's a fascinating model. Like,
he's a very interesting model. But you know, frankly, I was hoping that he would come in at 5 instead of 4.
Yeah. But none of those are what we are talking about today.
No.
Who did
not
you
at
bring
all.
For us to talk about today?
I brought everybody's favorite chest face robot man, the one, the only, Arnim Zola.
I'll be honest, I think most people's favorite chest face robot man is the one from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Krang? It's fair, he is like robot, he is like a, he is similar to Krang. Krang's the little brain in the robot body, he is not the robot body himself.
They are very similar characters.
They are very similar characters. And you know what, to be frank, I love Krang too.
Do you just like face and chest people?
I do. I like Krang, I like Arnim Zola, I like the alien from Men in Black. I forget who played him, but yeah. Of the little alien piloting the dude from Men in Black. I love it when a guy pilots a dude in the dude's chest.
Have you ever seen Guilty Gear?
Yeah. I used to play a bunch of Plus R.
Okay. So not Plus R, but Exod. There's the old man that is secretly a robot with a girl inside.
Oh, hell yeah. We love to see that. Only thing better than a robot piloted by a brain alien is a robot piloted by a teenage girl.
Especially an anime teenage girl.
Yeah, that's why Evangelion is the best show of all time.
I would disagree with you, but that's personal.
Fair enough.
I am of the opinion that the best anime of all time is still Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Okay. I have not seen Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood. Everybody keeps telling me I have to. So I will have to get on that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then if we're going into movies, both the original Ghost in the Shell and Revolutionary Girl Lieutenant Adolescence Apocalypse are fantastic.
Okay. Sweet.
But Adolescence Apocalypse is a fever dream. So.
Sure. I mean, that's what you're looking for when you go see an anime film, I feel, is just a complete fever dream.
A lesbian fever dream, but a fever dream all the same.
Who doesn't love a sapphic fever dream?
Yes.
Well, we are ranging a little far afield from Arnim Zola, I think, so.
Well, this is digressions to the podcast at times.
Sure.
But yes, so we will not be doing him in his affiliated Cabal or Hydra. And then last time we did him all the way back in, let me double check my sheet. It's 100 and something.
I think you said
113.
Yeah, 113.
We did him in Convocation. So yeah. We will not be doing that either.
That was my first thought when I saw him, was like, I bet this, you know, low physical, high mystic, he can do mystic attacks. Seems like a good home for him. But yeah, so we can't go there.
What is the first affiliation that jumps out to you?
So I'm looking at Arnim Zola. I'm looking at, he's got bad, so when I'm looking at affiliations, I kind of am like, how can I help shore up some of this character's weaknesses, maybe? Mm-hmm. And for me, looking at Zola, he's got, he's slow. Mm-hmm. He'll die if you punch him pretty hard. And for that reason, and you know, he's okay at generating power. He's got scientific hubris. But he doesn't roll a ton of dice, and so getting those crits can be a little tricky. So I thought a place that he might fit would be Sam Wilson Avengers.
Just go Sam spam with him and use him as a buff tool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, being able to also feed him a little bit of power, give him the extra movement, that seemed like an interesting place that maybe he could find a role, support a kind of a go-wide strategy with his rerolls as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like he could pair nicely with Luke Cage to bodyguard him. And Luke doesn't really, you know, you can Luke doesn't care about bleeding. So, yeah.
Yeah. The first one I wanted to bring up is an affiliation you know well and good. And that's Spider-Foes.
Oh, interesting. Were you thinking Green Goblin or Doc Ock?
Either option. I'm just thinking... Okay. that forced ESP block box blast, which is two power, so he makes it, if he's double attacking, he's getting that off every turn, and that's a forced movement that is triggering Kraven, that is setting up any of your traps, that just does stuff.
Yeah, I'm with it. All right, I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And also, giving a little bit more consistency to our four die attackers is never a bad thing.
Yeah, 100%. That is a thing. Often when I'm playing Spider Foes, like it really feels like you need a source of rerolls. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, Zola being able to hand those out makes a lot of sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Or you need to be the bad guy and just play Thanos Spider Foes, where you just add dice.
More dice is usually better than rerolls.
Especially on Doc Ock.
Especially with Doc Ock, yeah. He doesn't, you know. Yeah, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
He can really spike. I'm a big fan of the Wilds Explode as well as crits. Mm-hmm. You can catch out a character like a Black Cat. You can definitely find some people that'll be a little bit surprised when they're like, they can take it. They're, you know, your crits don't explode, it smooths it out, and then, nope, I'm spiking on Wilds instead.
Yeah. What other affiliations jump out to you?
Another thought that I had was maybe he could fit somewhere that can also help pass in power.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking maybe he could fit somewhere in like a Cyclops gun line kind of scenario.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was thinking maybe he could, the other place that I was thinking, and this might be, I mean, because he has, he's got a, an active and a reactive superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And that means he probably plays well with Professor X.
Yeah, not where I was thinking you were going, but also true. I was thinking you were, talking about OG Steve, but he doesn't quite work with OG Steve.
Yeah, because he's got the X power.
Yep.
Doesn't play quite the way you'd hope it would, but mm-hmm. You know, another one of our locals, Nate, has been seeing a lot of success with under Professor X with people mm-hmm. that, you know, anybody that has a reactive and an active superpower really can help the power economy.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's, I feel like he could fit, maybe Arnim Zola is the secret next X-Men.
I want to talk about a team which has a bodyguard in its leader and mm-hmm. gives him power.
Are you thinking what, I think I'm picking up what you're putting down?
A-Force?
Oh, that is not what I was thinking. I was thinking the other leader with a bodyguard who can pass in power, Black Bolt.
What's the third leader with it? Because you also remember OG Steve is power economy plus bodyguard.
That is true.
But I also think, and I put this on a podcast, and I'm like, ooh, that might be good.
Mm-hmm.
She-Hulk might also be a great venomized target.
Yeah, that's Chad and I down at the store were talking about a bunch of different venomized targets. The one that we were excited about was Sentinel Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But She-Hulk seems like actually, yeah, a very interesting target.
Because you can also superior weight training the Venomize to make it even bigger. And then you add some evil consistency to it with Armin Zola, and Zola is getting two bodyguards out of that affiliation between She-Hulk and Okoye. So it's like
very
he's
smart.
Not going down to physical attacks at all. You also get the ability to, like, EXP Box Blast to set up throws with She-Hulk or get people into the She-Hulk blender. Like,
yeah.
I think he does stuff there.
Yeah, I feel like A-Force is making a lot of sense to me. What's that one card that they have where they can pass out the extra defense dice as well?
That's A-Force Assemble.
A-Force Assemble. That feels like something that really can help shore up the defensive weaknesses. Because if he's taking anything other than a mystic attack, he's pretty sad.
So it's when an allied character is defending against an attack this round, add one die to its defense roll for each other A4th character within two of that character.
Well, perfect. That's exactly where he, like, he wants to be in the middle of the squad anyway, so he can hand out the rerolls. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that's at range 4 rather than range 2, but yeah, you can. If he's probably going to have at least, if we're running him in this scenario, he's probably going to have She-Hulk and Okoye near him anyway.
Yeah.
So yeah, that feels like A-Force makes a lot of sense.
Are there any other options that jump out to you?
I so far I feel like the strongest one. You're making a very, very strong case for A-Force.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the big ones for me were Sam Wilson and Charles Xavier. Those were the two places that I thought he would fit best outside of Convocation, of course.
Yes, Convocation is very good. I also want to bring up the idea of Web Warriors. He is a guy who can very consistently get people off points for that Web Warrior thing. The Miles leadership gives him defensive rerolls and allow him to unlock skulls, which can be important when using his rerolls to allow them to reroll the skulls that they already have existing in their role to get out of the automatic attempt at bleed.
Web Warriors usually like anybody that can reroll dice, so that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I had not thought about Web Warriors just because rerolls on two dice is still doesn't feel great to me.
It is better than expected.
But it is better, and it's better than not having a reroll on two dice for sure.
We were talking about H1 last week, which is two dice, reroll two on physical defense, and she just lives through shit. But she also has martial artist in there as well.
Sure, sure. And being able to, you know, counting when you're defending goes from, like, what is it, 3 out of 8 to 5 out of 8, that's definitely a big swing.
I also, speaking of rerolls, I think he is a perfectly fine guardian.
Sure. Sure. Who doesn't love energy damage spam?
Well, and the interesting thing is he is a gun in their line that can do any attack type.
That's true. And a lot of the Guardians are range 3, and he's range 4, so maybe they can, you know, having somebody besides Rocket that can hang back, definitely feels nice. I got completely dismantled by Guardians last week.
Yeah. Yeah, you did. But it was also your first time playing into them, so you just had no idea what they were doing.
Yeah, Adam is a very strong player. Definitely felt like I learned a lot from that game.
Mm-hmm.
I've definitely got to see, like, oh, okay, this is why everybody's talking about him.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we've talked about a lot of options. Which one do you want to jump into?
I feel like the one that... the one that kind of makes the most sense to me, from what we were talking about, I really like the idea of A-Force.
Cool.
Let's go the A-Force and Armin Zola.
Mm-hmm. Armin Zola and the girls.
Hell yeah, let's do it.
So we start off with She-Hulk. Mm-hmm. Then who is your second A-Force member?
Okay, and we are trying to support, let me see here, who do we have?
Because A-Force has an insane roster.
Yeah, they really, really do. All right, let's see. Who else do we have in, and we're trying to support, so I feel like Okoye is the next, is going to be our slam next pick, right? Mm-hmm. Just somebody who can also bodyguard for Zola, keep him alive, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah.
All right, so we've got Zola, we've got She-Hulk, we've got Okoye.
And I think the other thing we haven't brought up is Zola can do some condition stuff, like a lot of it.
Yeah, he is really, really good at putting out conditions.
Uh-huh. And specifically, he also puts out slow fairly consistently, which... Mm-hmm. She-Hulk just really likes.
Right. If you can't get away from her, that's where she wants to be, right?
Well, and also she can spend her to convert that into a stagger on high potential targets.
That is very true.
Mm-hmm.
Nice, yeah. Setting up, setting her up for that alley-oop.
Yep.
Fantastic play.
So we may actually have some amount of condition game here.
Right, that makes sense.
Which leads me to two specific characters that I love very much.
Mm-hmm.
Which are Crystal.
I was thinking Crystal.
And Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah, you are a Black Widow 3, or, yeah.
Three Threat Widow
booster, for sure.
Uh-huh. And, like, Widow's Kiss.
Yeah, that is an attack, especially when you've got people outputting conditions like Zola does.
Yeah.
Because his builder is, four each wild.
Yeah,
so if you spike, you can really start throwing them out there.
Yeah, for sure. So those are two I'm trying to I would put in the keep in mind camp. But like
sure.
A-Force just has a pile of good characters.
Right. And so if I'm looking at Crystal,
mm-hmm.
She can
incinerate, slow, stun.
Incinerate, slow, and stun. And she stops you from shaking them.
Yep.
Which I feel like a lot of people forget and that get rudely reminded of.
So, specifically, it's you cannot perform shake actions.
Yes. Which I learned because Blade's, Half-Blood Physiology?
Mm-hmm.
That's not like Agent Venom's. Blades is a shake action. It's not just remove the condition.
Yep. It's not like Asgard leadership.
Yeah, that was a rough game.
Mm-hmm.
But broadly speaking, I feel like I kind of am a little bit more interested in Black Widow in Three Threat Widow over Crystal.
Okay.
I feel like the way that I tend to play maybe is a little bit more cagey, a little bit more defensive, and just mm-hmm. having somebody that has stealth feels a little stealth, parting shot feels a little bit safer to me. Maybe I'm a little bit too cagey there, but that's kind of how I'm feeling.
So let's talk about another stealth character then.
All right.
How do you feel about Spider-Woman?
I feel like I go back and forth. There have been some times that I've played Spider-Woman and she just doesn't feel like she does anything. And then there are other times that when somebody who is, who's really good with her, gets her on the board, she is just an absolute demon.
Yeah.
I do like the idea of having two characters that can interrogate.
Mm-hmm.
That feels pretty spicy, having the option to, especially with She-Hulk, the She-Hulk blender going.
Mm-hmm.
I like Spider-Woman.
Yes. It has been ruled that you only get one interrogate per round.
Right, because of the... But you have two options for interrogate,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if maybe... Yeah.
The other thing is she is another for each wild put a condition character.
Yes. And she provides an extract steal as well.
Yes.
I like Spider-Woman. I think Spider-Woman definitely does a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get her in there.
Yep.
Also a fellow Hydra member, so Zola doesn't feel lonely. I always get worried about my robot men feeling lonely.
Okay, then. Are there any... I imagine we want at least a couple more A-Force members in here.
That's true. Who do we have? We don't have anybody that can fly for special delivery yet.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal could do that.
Crystal could. Wasp could turn two, and Wasp also has very funny matchups into Weapon X.
Okay. I have not seen those, just being able to, What's the spicy tech into Weapon X?
So Weapon X, if they have Dossier, you deploy Wasp at the very back corner of the thing, mm-hmm. of the mat, and then you transform, auto-dropping the objective in, like takes them 3 turns and gets them out of the fight to get to it. And she's a double long mover who can still get to a point.
Okay. So basically you make them just waste a tactics card.
Yeah.
Love it. We love to see it.
And since they're already spending a tactics card for their leadership, that's a lot of tactics card tax.
Yeah, that's a thing that I find kind of frustrating about some of those leaderships, is it feels like the leadership has to be pretty good to be worth a tactics card. Mm-hmm. It can be, yeah. So that feels like a very, very spicy tech into Weapon X.
But how much Weapon X are we seeing?
That's a very fair point. One thing that I will say for Ant-Man and Wasp mm-hmm. is they're just super fun to play.
Oh yeah.
Being able to do the being able to transform, zip around the board. They are some of the most fun characters to play. So for that reason.
She also has one of my favorite lines of text, and it just keeps getting better and better. After this attack resolves, this character, the target character does not gain power for damage dealt by this attack.
Yeah, we love to see that. Always love to see that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I also love the idea of a size 1 Wasp carrying She-Hulk around.
Yeah. You don't get to do it turn 1 right away. But I think people are more and more fitting with, the turn 2, turn 3 special delivery once the scrum has started.
Sure. I mean, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like if you blow that a little bit too early, you can get into, a weird situation where suddenly you're She-Hulk stranded.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never good.
Mm-hmm.
I think, all right, let's slam Wasp in here. Mm-hmm. And then we've got 5 affiliated. I usually want one more at least.
Mm-hmm.
So I am looking around.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like we've got. It feels like one thing that we might want here is just a beater, right? We've got She-Hulk. But it feels like we've got Spider-Woman, who's a little bit more of an extract runner, little bit more of less of a skirmisher.
Mm-hmm.
Wasp kind of fills a similar role. Okoye is a support piece. I feel like we want somebody that's good at just murder.
Yeah.
How do you feel about Domino?
Domino the choice? When you were describing that, I immediately went one down from Domino to mm-hmm. Gamora.
Gamora? Okay. I mean, that's very fair. Yep. I feel like going for another 4 might be better than another 3 as well.
Mm-hmm.
Hell yeah. Big fan of Gamora.
And giving her defensive rerolls with Zola. Mm-hmm. Let me double check that he's not an offense-only guy. That's always attacking or defending, yes.
Yep.
Giving her defensive rerolls on martial prowess so you can clap back is always very funny to me.
Very, very true. Let's see here. And what is the... Okay. Yeah. No, I like this. I like Gamora. Let's get, mm-hmm. and she's another long mover. So we have a very, very quick squad here.
Oh yeah. We have what? Triple long mover in here potentially?
So far we've got 3, which mm-hmm. means that our poor baby boy Arnim may struggle to keep up.
Well, he doesn't need to keep up. He just needs to hold down the point.
That's true. He just needs to stand on the back, be within 4, hand out his rerolls.
He's being a good Overwatch team player and standing on the point!
He's a better Overwatch player than me, then.
I have played very little Overwatch. There are some foundational issues I have with Overwatch.
Yeah?
Yes. The biggest is the ability to change characters mid-game.
That definitely can be frustrating.
Yeah. I feel like takes away the ability to outdraft an opponent, which is one of the most interesting things in MOBAs to me.
Fair. That's fair. To me, it feels... I played a lot of TF2 back in the day, and like part of that was the shifting team comp. But given that that was a very different game. That was less of a MOBA, and like, so I can see the... But because it's that Overwatch is in that kind of like FPS, Counter-Strike, MOBA hybrid, just feels a little bit... I can see how you can... The cross-pollination there.
Yes. I really enjoyed Paladins when I was playing it. And yeah, now Marvel is doing their own Overwatch thing, which we're not 100% sure about all the like structure of that, but that looks rad.
Really looks cool. The way they were selling it, Loki being looking like he was doing some kind of pretend like Team Fortress 2 spy thing, looked very, very cool.
And then they're really pushing Luna Snow at this point.
Yeah, she's not a character I was super familiar with before I had seen that trailer. But I do like how they're kind of pushing some of the more deep cut characters.
Well, she is also like, because like, I knew her from Marvel Future Fight.
Okay.
And I very much get the sense that she is popular in the Korean market, which is where we sell our video games best. So let's get her in there.
I see. Yeah, okay. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. When is she getting to... When is she getting onto Marvel Snap?
When is she getting into Crisis Protocol so we can have a pop star in Crisis Protocol?
That's the real question. We need a Dazzler Luna Snow double pack so we can go hard in the pop star paint.
That would be an insane double pack, and I would love it. And everybody would be like, what the fuck is going on?
Why are who are these two characters, and why are they bundled together?
Well, Dazzler is actually a much requested character on this show.
Okay. I would be very down for a Dazzler Jubilee. I could see that. As a pack, I'd be down.
But yes, back to our list. I think we've got our affiliated members now.
I think so, yeah. So we've got She-Hulk, Spider-Woman, Gamora, Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Wasp, Okoye, and then our boy, Arnim Zola. So
out of affiliation stuff.
Yeah, looking at splashes, I feel like one thing that we're missing, we need some kind of five threat, I think. What do you think?
I could see it. We do have a six threat leader.
That's true.
Which makes things complicated.
It does. That's true. I'm somewhat new to the six threat leader. As I've been learning Magneto, I have found myself a little pinched on threat sometimes, trying to bring too many big boys. What can I say? I like a large lad.
You like big boys, and you cannot lie.
I cannot deny. If there is one thing that that everybody knows about me, I like my large, horrible sons. All right, so then maybe we leave off a five threat, at least for now, and see what we're doing.
I have a weird suggestion.
Yeah, what's that?
He's not the best character in the game. Maybe not even good. But I am interested in Iceman in this team with how consistently it already gives out slow.
Okay. And going hard into the, like, stack slow, into stagger... disruption plan.
Well, and also he has, whenever an enemy finishes a move or attack within two of him, they gain slow, and if they don't already have it, they suffer a damage instead. And with the amount of bodyguards we have.
They can keep him alive. He's got the we've got a couple of characters here in Zola and in She-Hulk that really don't want to use their actions to walk around.
Mm-hmm.
So Ice Slide, being able to, you know.
So we move. Can't help She-Hulk because she's size 3, but
she's size 3, sure.
Let me double check.
Zola is size 3 too.
So yeah, we can't help
he's
them.
Size 3 too. They're too big for Iceman.
Yeah, they're too big for Iceman. Well.
All right. Well, still, we still have our freezing blast mm-hmm. into Cold Snap plan.
And he also can reset Okoye back to next to a ally character. We want her defending if she gets moved off, stuff like that.
That's true. Yeah, definitely throwing Okoye away has been an effective strategy in my Midnight Suns games. So mm-hmm. being able to reset from that. Yeah, seems great.
So, yeah.
All right. We've got Iceman, Bobby Drake.
Uh-huh. Are there other characters that jump out to you?
Well, I was just thinking, if we're going to go hard into slow and throwing out slow, who else do we have that can be annoying in that way? Let's see. We've got... we've got Pyro, who I like generally speaking, supports like being able to, firewall is just a, you know, fantastic ability.
Pyro's a bully, let's be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. He who doesn't love an Australian bully? yeah, he gives us access to another steel. Which is nice. Incinerate plays to our Black Widow Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. plan.
Yep.
Zola can... Does Zola hand out Incinerate? He does not. That's like the one thing he doesn't do. Yeah, I feel like Pyro definitely could have a home here.
Yeah, Pyro definitely could. He gives out two conditions we don't already give out in Incinerate and... Root. So, like,
yep.
As much as I think he is a boring option at this point, I think he's an okay option here.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Sure. Fair enough. He is definitely not an interesting choice.
Yes. We mentioned him earlier in the cast, and I want to bring him up. Because
right,
we are talking conditions, and we are talking about increasing survivability.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Electro?
How do I feel about Electro? I think his card is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of... So I do think being able to destroy terrain... it feels like there might be a little bit of a clash between Electro and She-Hulk,
mm-hmm.
where she's going to be throwing terrain at people and he's going to want to be using that. That said, I do really like being able to throw out shock just to keep yourself alive.
Mm-hmm. We can always go with the more boring version of Electro, which is Crimson Dynamo.
That's an interesting... I feel like Crimson Dynamo is... They feel very different to me. Like, mm-hmm. as I've been looking at Electro and trying to find a spot for him in my Spider-Foes list, it feels like... It feels like Dynamo fits within that game plan much more, just because Electro's so squishy. But he's much faster, and mm-hmm. I like the idea of having, live wire, tricks and traps. I love the tricks and traps.
Yeah.
I
will also bring up a couple ideas that have been percolating already with Electro.
All right,
one
hit me with it.
Him in Strucker Hydra is going to be so annoying.
That's very true. That is 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
I have my thought for Electro has been the thing that my first thought was Magneto.
Yes, that was the other thing I was going to bring up, because he can always just jump off of the construct, and you can use the construct to reposition Electro very, very well.
Yeah, and Magneto can, like, you know, Magneto loves it when you destroy terrain. He can fix, like, Electro seems very, very power hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Electro being able to feed him power. You know what? He is very power hungry. She-Hulk can feed him power. Let's get Electro in here. Let's do it.
Let's try some new models.
Yeah, let's get the new kid on the block.
But that is a full roster right there.
That is indeed. All right,
so
let's see.
What type of crises are we playing with this team?
So I'm not super, super familiar with the general A-Force, like what their most comfortable rosters are. Most comfortable crises are.
Mm-hmm.
But looking at this, it feels like we want something that if we're going to be playing Zola most games, which it feels like that's kind of the point, kind of what we want to be doing.
That is the premise of the show.
That is why we are here. We kind of want something that'll force people to huddle up, mm-hmm. right? And we've got, broadly speaking, a pretty good energy defense. How do you feel about Deadly Meteors?
I am down for some Deadly Meteors. I think that is a good call. One I was going to bring up, because I think we also have a pretty good game on it, because we don't mind the stun condition that much because of our leadership. I think we also have Mayor Fisk team.
I love it. I love Mayor Fisk. I know that might be a spicy take, but I feel like it just feels like a very cool, it always feels like a very cool crisis to me. I always really enjoy playing on it. I'm 100% down. I'm always down for Fisk.
Yeah. You beat me on Fisk.
That's true. But to be fair, the game before that, I got beaten on Fisk. Yeah. We've got a decent amount of displacement from Zola, from She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think we run Gamma Wave? It feels tricky with She-Hulk being as expensive as she is.
Yes. I think we want at least one high threat.
Yeah, crisis. That makes sense.
Push the threat on Extract and keep the threat low on Secure. That may be our strategy.
Sure. I think that's reasonable. I feel like broadly we probably want at least one high threat Secure, so that in the scenario, because usually you win Prio, you pick your blues, then the other person gets to, if all of our blues are lower threat, mm-hmm. it feels like that gives us a weakness there. So I feel like we do want one high.
That's fair.
How do you feel then? I feel like one that I typically like, I'm always a little spooked about taking demons.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, we don't have a ton of incinerate immune. I don't think we have anybody that's immune to incinerates.
No.
So I don't think demons is a great call. How do you feel about intrusions?
Intrusions is interesting. The thing I worry about with intrusions is it gives so much access to Zola.
That's true. That is very fair.
The one I'm actually looking at is Scoundrels.
That was going to be my next suggestion too, was Scoundrels. What's your thought process?
Armin Zola gets covered so much for Armin Zola's physical defense.
Makes a lot of sense.
Two, we have so much displacement, we can get people off of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And our attacks our Zola attacks do not care about if we don't damage as much as Rolling Wilds and that's it. And because you have flat power gain, you have all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Being able to bodyguard Because I think She-Hulk is big enough, or maybe even Okoye with Amendola. If you're on one point, you can bodyguard onto a different point to get cover.
Yeah, there you go. That's clever. I like that.
And we've already talked about how mobile our team is to get into positions.
I was just about to say, with Wasp, we can do some janky kind of like transform into a, like onto the point to be able to do like a stinger blast through cover.
Yeah.
No, I like Scoundrels. I think Scoundrels is a great call.
Now, extract wise, I do think, like I mentioned before, we want to keep the point value a little bit higher on attacks. Mm-hmm. And I think.
Sorry. Well, I was going to say we want to keep the point value a little bit high. We want to have to get people in the middle to do a big brawl.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about Senators?
I worry a little bit about our Senators' plan.
Just because we're kind of slow.
Yes and no. Because our reposition is generally movement compression rather than separate places and stuff.
Sure, that makes sense.
I think we are a fast team, but I think a lot of that comes from our long moves.
Fair. Yeah, we've got, you know, Gamora's got her self-throw.
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Woman's got I don't fly, I glide, and we don't have much else outside of that.
We have the aggressive on She-Hulk.
We've got Electro can ride the wires,
but he can't do that while also holding an objective.
Holding a senator. Iceman can ice slide or freeze and fade.
No, because that's an action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, no, you're totally right. You are totally right. So yeah, maybe Senators is the wrong plan here.
I do think we are a Hammers team.
Hell yeah. I love it.
She-Hulk with love a hammer. Terrifying.
Can She-Hulk do the shenanigans that... one thing that I used to love doing with Immortal Hulk is you can do... In Midnight Suns is you can start him on the first hammer, pick it up, move, bump, and then pick up a second hammer, and you've got I-Hulk sitting there with two hammers, just like, you need to deal with that.
Unfortunately, she cannot, because she is medium base, so she does not start on the hammer.
She's just little. Tragic.
Yeah, she's a baby.
Okay, well, just a little Hulk. Uh-huh. And she only gets the, alright, okay, well, so, I still think that she's a, She's still probably a good call.
Yeah.
If we're doing hammers, do we have a midline grab? Or is that something we need to plan for with maybe She-Hulk and eyes maybe?
She-Hulk can, I think. Let me double check She-Hulk.
Yeah, she gets two power in the power phase.
Yep, she's a medium base moving move, so she can be a safe extract grab.
All right, sweet. I think hammers is a great plan then.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sweet. We've got that in place.
And also, we have this weird other thing with where we can if we play aggressive with one person and they go to punish them, we gain a power, and then we can use eyes on another character on one of our long movers.
Oh, on like Spider-Woman or something.
Yeah. Because using our leadership to pass around power, it's not like a first action safe grab, but if like it's a really good punish if your opponent leaves it open type thing.
I think that that's a great idea. And Spider-Woman with eyes is, you're never seeing that hammer again.
She's
taking that. Just say goodbye to it.
While Zola does not love it, I do think we are a Skrulls team.
Yeah, I think that that's fine. He doesn't need to necessarily be a Skrull carrier. I was thinking Skrulls would be a good call too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I know it's I know the points are low, and I know that I am extremely lame for suggesting it. Researcher, what do you think? That is, I feel, the general response to researcher.
So let me bring up my idea, and we can see which one we like better.
All right.
Because
it's sure.
I think we have a surprisingly solid Montesi team.
Okay.
We mentioned before we have a midline extra grab with She-Hulk in our leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Zola, suddenly that's the four defense, and he also giving Zola a beam. Oof.
All right. Yeah,
you
being
can't
able to
re-roll onto the Montesi beam.
That's true. And it is during the next attack and not the next attack action with his experimental enhancements.
Well, so you it cannot add additional dice to this attack or modify its dice
tragic.
During the attack. So you don't even explode crits on it.
Yeah, that's true. All right. Well, so maybe all right. So, but we do have a safe grab with She-Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
It does kind of force everybody into the middle, at least at the start, which we like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm down for Montesi. Like I said, researcher is my go-to for kind of like, hey, we want everybody to stand in the middle and punch each other, and we do have some nice displacement. But 15 threat is going to be tough for us.
Uh-huh. And I also think with this suite, we have, what, Hammer, Scrolls, Montesi. We have, mm-hmm. I think, the potential for, because we have safe grab on Hammers. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
We have a potential sneaky safe grab on Hammers if the opponent leaves it open.
Yes, we do.
We have a safe grab on Montesi. And we maybe even have a safe side grab and a safe middle grab on Scrolls.
Yes.
Because just a long mover or a medium base medium mover is a safe grab on the middle, and then we have the eyes on the side.
Yeah.
Are we taking extracts?
Yeah, we actually might prefer extracts, generally speaking. I think there's a real argument to be made there. I like it. I like us as an extract team.
So now tactic cards.
Tactics. All right. So we're like we mentioned, we're probably taking
Special Delivery and A-Force Assemble.
Yeah. Makes sense. We kind of built for those.
Yep. I think Stalwart Determination is a very good card.
Okay, run me through it.
During the power phase, any number of allied A-Force characters may spend one. Characters that spent power this turn cannot be pushed or thrown by enemy effects.
Yeah, that's everybody gets, you prepay for it, but everybody that pays gets
Indom.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's do it. That seems like a fantastic card.
Mm-hmm. Now, character specific wise,
I was gonna say vertical assistance.
Yep,
we've got a widow. Vertical assistance seems like a slam dunk.
Yep. I want to bring up Pym Particles.
I was actually just also about to bring up Pym Particles. big fan of Pym Particles.
Yeah, dude, this card's so dumb.
It's
and then,
so fun.
are we doing pyrotechnics?
I like pyrotechnics a lot. We've only got the one source of incinerate, and it's pyro.
Yeah.
Which makes it really inconsistent, and so I don't think it's amazing for us, and we do already have a steel with Spider-Woman.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might be okay leaving pyrotechnics at home and kind of using pyro as like a firewall bot.
Yeah, which firewall is very good. Yeah.
Firewall's insane.
How do we feel about Double Agent?
I feel like Double Agent is, I'm not a huge fan of Double Agent.
Okay.
Do you have a different opinion?
I think it's a fascinating card. It doesn't always play out the best, but I think it, I like it in the, this may have been before your time.
Sure.
There was an old card. I'm trying to remember the name of it now. It had the Laughing Green Goblin face on it.
Oh, Blind Obsession.
Blind Obsession. I find it very similar to Blind Obsession in forcing an activation in the late game.
Right. Right. Yeah, that seems to be how it's... I mean, in my experience, when I have played into Double Agent, it's kind of like... Oftentimes I feel like, all right, Spider-Woman, if she double activates, she gets further away from me and she's not, I'm still not going to be able to catch her. Like, it just often feels like it's not super relevant. So I, like I say, I'm not a huge fan of Double Agent, but I do think it's interesting.
And the other thing I think about Double Agent that is the more, I think, powerful play with it actually is, first activate Spider-Woman, get her out of there with an objective, and then they activate their character. It suddenly gives you last activation as well, that Spider-Woman, if she's still healthy, can come back in and win a random point.
Okay, yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense. You know what? I'm happy to be convinced. I think we put Double Agent in, and if there's something maybe that we want more, that might be our 10th card. I'm happy to get it in there.
Well, there is one unaffiliated card that I think instantly gets into this list.
Is it Kick 'Em While They're Down?
It is. Kingpin throwing stripper money at Daredevil.
Uh-huh. Make it rain on them boys.
Yeah, 100%.
Kick, 100%. Yeah, this is the fastest Kick 'Em While They're Down of my life.
And I love that card so much.
It's so much fun. I run it in Spider Foes. I run it in Midnight Suns.
And then we are doing Eyes.
Yep, we are doing Eyes, which means we've got two slots left and two restricted cards.
I think we might drop Double Agent for a sneaky tech pick.
Okay. All right. We've got a She-Hulk.
Yes.
We're probably taking Patch-Up, right?
Patch-Up Wraith would be my guess.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. 100%.
Do you know what character I think plays on this, really gets under this team's skin, but we can also play around in a really interesting way?
Please tell me.
Ultron 2.
Sure.
Are you
thinking that Ultron 2 might be a little bit of a sucker?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Because, like, we have a power generating leadership. So even if it's not Ultron 2 we're doing, just going like, no, you have zero power this round and you are injured. So you can't. So we win the points.
Yeah. He's less of a monster now. But anything that can drain power is just really nice against, like, a Cosmic Ghost Rider. If you can get him to zero power when he rolls to generate, he is, like, way, way, way less likely to be psychotic. So,
If you can do it on a turn where he is psychotic, but do it before he activates.
Very nice.
Then they don't get the being able to do any objective stuff, and he can't really do anything.
Yeah, 100%. All right, so yeah, I think Sucker seems like a slam dunk, and it's a very funny card.
So that is a full roster.
Sweet. That is indeed.
So for everyone...
I like this squad.
Yeah. For everyone at home... the full list is Armanzola, She-Hulk, Okoye, Black Widow, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., Spider-Woman, Wasp, Gamora, Iceman, Pyro, and Electro. With tactic cards Special Delivery, A-Force Assemble, Star Ward Determination, Vertical Assistance, Pym Particles, Kick 'Em While They're Down, Eyes on the Prize, Brace for Impact, Patch Up, and Sucker. Then for Secures, we have Mayor Fisk, Vows to Find Missing Witnesses, Deadly Meteors Mutate Civilians, and Superpowered Scoundrels Form Sinister Syndicate. Then for extracts, we have Fear Grip Ward as Worthy Terrorized City, Skrulls Infiltrate Ward Leadership, and Montesi Formula Found.
Hell yeah. I didn't notice until you read through them, but with Electro, Iceman, and Pyro as our splashes, we kind of have assembled the forces of nature.
Yep. I also like that since we're thinking of being an extract-focused team on our picks, mm-hmm. we can use our secures having odd point values is less bad.
That's true.
Because when we actually have to play our secures, we will also be getting to choose the threat level.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, if we do end up, we're very rare. It feels like we're very rarely going to be forced onto that 16 threat Mayor Fisk mm-hmm. Terror scenario.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is sweet. I like this. I like this squad quite a lot.
Yeah. If people wanted to main, people on it wanted to reach out to you, can I, where would people find you?
I'm active in a bunch of the, Crisis Protocol Discords. I spend a lot of time, I'll be in the Morlocks Discord. I'll be, in some of the other Discords. I'm a horse bag on Discord. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. I don't have a huge social presence. So yeah, that's me.
We were talking about something earlier and we completely did not put it in the list.
What was that?
Venomize!
Oh, we missed it. Alright, where can we
What are we taking out? Are we taking out Sucker? Or do we think we need that and take out something like Pym Particles?
I feel like I kind of want to take out Pym Particles.
Okay.
Just because I think it's probably correct to take out Sucker, but I want to leave it in there.
Uh-huh. That's fair. Okay. So yeah, you're on the Morlocks Discord, you're on a couple other Discords.
Yeah, if you're playing in like a TTS league, you can probably find me there.
Mm-hmm. And you're mostly a spider first person, but been branching out recently.
Yeah, I started playing the game about a year ago and played spider foes almost exclusively for most of that year.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently, I've been trying to explore a few other factions. But with this new box set, I'm gonna be back on my foes, baby.
You're going to be back on your bullshit.
Uh-huh. Like, we never left.
Mm-hmm. I am so excited to run the Electro Shocker combo.
I cannot wait to run the Dynamo Shocker combo and just be the pillow fort where, no, you can't touch me.
Oh, no. Shocker is going to be a very funny include into Winter God list soon.
Oh, 100%. He is going to be, I feel like Shocker is going to be kind of a sleeper pick from that box.
Mm-hmm.
People were kind of down on him because that card, there's not a lot of text on that card, but there's not a lot of text on Lizard's card either. And Lizard is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. And if you want to support the show and get into that Morlocks Discord, you can do so at patreon.com/LexaWhite, where not only do you get access to the Discord, which also features some of my custom creations, if you're interested in that sort of stuff, you also get bonus episodes. By the time this came out, it's a little bit delayed from where I wanted it, but I should have my episode on going over my league roster going over my quarter one playlist. So keep an eye out for those. Those should be out by the time this episode comes out.
Yeah, do it.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Lexa. I had a great time.
And keep experimenting, people.